You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. This is Locked On Ravens podcast. You've got myself, Matthew Stevens. You can follow me on Twitter at MatthewS_NFL. And I'm joined by Jacob Troxel, who you can find on Twitter at Trox3, T-R-O-X-3. How's it going, Jacob? How you doing tonight?
Good, man, because we're so close to the end of the preseason. I can smell it.
It is nice to get back to football and then get back to real football again. It's been nice seeing guys hit each other a little bit in pads and getting some preseason action. But, man, I cannot wait until the games actually matter.
Yeah, I know we talked about the preseason schedule yesterday, but five preseason games has just felt so drainingly long, and I can't imagine what it's been like actually playing in five preseason games all in 1 month. So it's been kind of weird.
Yeah, I keep joking about it that I never really want to complain about covering football in terms of covering five preseason games, especially when players have to play in it. But man, is it tough writing about five preseason games. but please. Please say a little prayer for me, everybody out there listening.
Just keep clicking the links, even if you don't really care about what happened in the second half of the last game. Just click it to make us feel better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in this show, we're going to talk a little bit about this next preseason game. You know, the Ravens versus the Redskins, the Battle of the Beltway. We're going to talk a little bit about the 53-man roster on offense. You know, there's been some pretty breaking news today in terms of a deal for New York Jets and former Minnesota Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, as well as Green Bay Packers giving Aaron Rodgers the largest deal in NFL history, and how that might kind of impact really what the Ravens want to do in terms of their 53-man roster on offense. But first, let me just go ahead and quick mention our sponsors. We've got MyBookie, DraftKings, and Hims today. But let's really kind of dig into, you know, the Ravens versus the Redskins. You can go ahead and catch that game Thursday. It is August 30th at 7:30 p.m. It's here at home, M&T Bank Stadium. And if you're trying to go ahead and catch it, you can catch it on all the typical channels that you normally would. So WBAL on radio, it's WBAL 1090 AM, 98 Rock, 97.9 FM. And it's your typical lineup in terms of your broadcasters. So the 1-2 Washington Redskins at the 4-0 Baltimore Ravens. Yay, undefeated.
Yeah, undefeated preseason. Keep it going. I'm not like rooting for anyone to really play badly, but I'm kind of just hoping the Ravens lose so we don't have to hear about how many preseason games they've won in a row. Just,
you know what?
Because wait a minute. Ed Reed's going into the Hall of Fame next year, right?
Yeah, that should be the case, yeah.
I don't think they would put them in the Hall of Fame game again, but imagine if this is worst case scenario. Imagine if they play five preseason games again, and then we have to, and they go 5-0 again. And we got to hear about all of this in the month of August. I will go crazy.
Yeah, because what at that point it'd be 18 consecutive games won by next year.
My God.
That's just that storyline already is killing me a little inside.
And watch, they go 8-8, and it's like, I'm just kidding. I think they'll be better than 8-8. Yeah. I'm taking Vegas is over.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to knock on wood for you on that one, Jacob. Just in case anyone out there is listening and thinks we just jinxed the team, I knocked on wood for you, so don't worry. This game, you know, what are we going to expect? It's the last preseason game, right? So, nobody's really going to be playing. Is that fairly accurate to say?
Yeah, I mean, no starters, so I think you'll get kind of what we saw in the last game where you get some early down passing or special, I guess, really a lot of passing in the first half. And then that fourth quarter, maybe you just kind of pretty much see both teams run the clock out. So not a whole lot. I don't think we'll see in that fourth quarter, but I am watching for a few things and most of them are on offense. So I'm just going to dive right into these first two on offense.
Yeah, go for it.
One, I think just as a whole, is this is actually both of these are kind of cop outs because I have groups listed, just not individual players. The first one is the wide receiver group, and it's not all the wide receivers, obviously, because they're not all playing. But Tim White, Breshad Perriman, Jordan Lasley, Janarian Grant, Devere Posey, and Andre Lavrone, pretty much all battling over the final two or three spots, depending on if they keep five or six receivers. So even if, you know, like we're pretty much going to definitely have a battle for that fifth spot, but I want to see if someone can emerge and maybe force the Ravens to want to keep a sixth guy. And we'll get into, you know, the 53 man projected cuts here in a minute, but I think Perriman does have to have a good game. He pretty much hasn't done a lot in the last two games. He caught three catches for 22 yards. And if he didn't catch that one long pass from Robert Griffin in the game against the Rams, then, I mean, that's like pretty much the only play that I can think of that comes to mind for Perriman this preseason, other than that first play where he dropped a pass and it was intercepted. So I think he needs to kind of come out and get going early. So that's the first group. And the second group is I'm going to be looking for is the tight ends. Again, a cop out, I know, but still no Hayden Hurst. I want to see, really, this is, if I had to pick one player out of the tight ends, it would just be Mark Andrews, just because he's a rookie. Didn't really have a great performance last week, three targets and zero catches. And we talked about that drop he had as well. So I just want to see him build a little more confidence, even if it's just like a short pass over the middle or something, you know, just get him going early a little bit, get his confidence up, and then maybe you can start to build on that.
Yeah, I think those are some great mentions. Obviously, they're two of the kind of bigger battles on the offensive side of things. And as we kind of dive into the rest of this 53-man roster in the next two segments, you know, those are really going to be where I think a lot of question marks are, and there's a lot of chances for guys to go ahead and make their mark in this final game. So certainly they make a ton of sense. Let's do a quick ad read. We have MyBookie, once that decides it's going to go ahead and pull up. So, you know, ever since we kind of started this podcast, ever since I really started writing as a whole, you know, I've gotten asked for advice. Who's going to win? What's the insider stuff? You know, who's going to, are the Ravens going to go ahead and go the over or the under? What's going to happen? You know, the truth is, I'll be honest, we get a little bit of insider information, but not really. You never know who's going to win. That's why they play every single Sunday. But if you think you know, if you like the odds, if you know where you're at, and especially if you're a big Ravens fan, go ahead and check out MyBookie. So remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. So not only are they going to go ahead and be amazing, they're going to give you a little bonus. If you go ahead and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, if you use that promo code, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. So you play, you win, you get paid. Again, that's MyBookie.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. And in addition to that, you know, we have a new fantasy show on the Locked On Network. It's crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show called Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, the hottest roster moves, and where to get the advantage. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you the edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. Now let's go ahead and talk a little bit. You know, we're going to dive into the 53-man roster here. First, we're going to kind of start off with quarterbacks and running backs, and then our next segment, we're going to get into the wide receivers. You know, where Breshad Perriman can make this team, tight ends like we just discussed, and the offensive line. Let's start off with quarterbacks. Let me first and foremost ask you, Jacob, do the Ravens keep three quarterbacks?
I am very hesitant to commit to them saying yes to three quarterbacks. And I know I said this earlier, I think it was yesterday, the day before, you know, as we get closer and closer, my gut feeling is just that they won't. And like we talk about, you know, how they haven't done this in 10 years. And it's just, it feels like no matter what, this decision is going to be surprising, right? Like Robert Griffin has played well. If they cut him, then it's like, wow, that's kind of surprising. He's been playing well. Now Lamar's the backup all of a sudden, even though he's been basically playing with the third string players this preseason. And then if you keep him, it's surprising because they haven't done it in so long. So I just think the closer we get to the deadline, the more they're going to want to keep maybe a sixth receiver or an extra lineman or something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ozzie Newsome is able to trade him away. And wouldn't that be amazing? Like, this guy was out of the league for a full year. Nobody wanted him. And then Ozzie Newsome brings him in for a few preseason games and trades him away for a draft pick. Like, that would be, I mean, he's had a lot of accomplishments in his career, but I mean, that's pretty impressive. I don't know when the last time that happened was. I just don't think that's something that happens very often.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly cap off Newsom's really good offseason. He came into the draft, wheeled and dealed, moved around, got two first-round picks in Hayden Hurst and then Lamar Jackson, but then ultimately had a total of 12 picks in the 2018 NFL draft. I think they came in with, like six or something like that to begin with? So he essentially doubled their draft picks. If he's now able to go ahead and trade a guy that was out of football last year and is on a one-year deal in Robert Griffin, that would kind of be Ozzie Newsome just strutting out of the building with, like, confetti cannons going off. That would be insane.
Yeah, serious.
But, well, let me ask you, and obviously, you know, we talked a little beforehand about Teddy Bridgewater getting traded for a reported third-round pick. He's going from the New York Jets to the New Orleans Saints, obviously from a backup situation to a backup situation. You know, do you think that Robert Griffin, I mean, what do you think Robert Griffin's real trade value is now that we've seen Bridgewater go for a third, and then we've seen Brett Hundley go to the Seattle Seahawks for a reported sixth-round pick? Do you think it's somewhere in between there, or do you think it's probably closer to one or the other?
I think it's probably somewhere around the fifth round range. I think it also depends on what system that you're going to include him in. I mean, I would have to think that there are plenty of teams that could use a backup quarterback, right? Like, I mean, you know, I think if you're in an offense that uses a little bit more creativity in play design, I think that he could definitely fit in there. I guess that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Griffin's looked pretty good in an offense that is, generally speaking, a pocket quarterback type of offense in Baltimore here, despite kind of allowing him to do a little bit with his legs. Generally speaking, they've asked him just to stick in the pocket and kind of deliver strikes, which he's done. But yeah, certainly he has the physical skills to do something positive in a more mobile offense or something that kind of gives him a little bit more freedom as a backup to maybe come in and do something different. I think Griffin could fit in really any offense at this point in his career.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely think he could fit in any offense. But I think now that he kind of had some time away from the game and was able to, I think he said something along these lines where, like, every week he was watching film, like, you know, I think he's learned a lot since his rookie year when he was just running into guys like Haloti Ngata. Obviously that's not what you can do in the NFL. And you know, you see it, even though his slides are not that graceful, the one in the last game looked like he kind of fell on his hip weird, but he's at least learned to slide. And I think he understands now how to take care of himself when he uses his legs. So I think if he does get traded, I think there's going to be a little bit more value if he goes to a team. You can get more value in return if he goes to a team that uses a little bit more of the read option in their play calling.
Yeah, I think it's weird that the Saints gave up a third round pick for Bridgewater. I mean, obviously he's coming off that devastating knee injury. Now he looked fine throughout the preseason. That's all good, but you know, that's certainly New Orleans essentially saying that he's going to be our guy after Drew Brees is what it sounds like to me with a third round pick. You don't spend that type of draft equity to have a guy sit on the bench behind the, you know, pretty well-maintained Drew Brees, not often injured. And then obviously Brett Hundley went for a sixth round pick. I'm in your ballpark of the fifth just simply because, well, you know, he was out of football last year. If the Ravens are going to trade him, it pretty much means they weren't going to keep him anyway. It's very much kind of the similar thing with Kamale Correa, who we'll talk about, his trade in the next episode when we go over the defense. But in terms of a team that's just going, look, I don't want to go through the waiver wire for him. I just want to make sure that I have him, and that's worth a fifth rounder to me.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when you start getting into the picks on like that, towards the back end of that second day, third day of the draft, it definitely is worth spending a pick on someone who can, a veteran, especially who can come in and back up, your quarterback. When you're drafting like a backup quarterback out of the draft in, I believe, like, for example, the Steelers, I think they drafted Mason Rudolph in the fourth round. Does that sound right? You know, you're drafting some of those guys in like the third and fourth rounds because of their potential. But, I think as far as like a veteran status, trading a pick away fifth or sixth round is a little bit more appropriate. Now, Teddy Bridgewater, I guess the Saints just look at that as, like you said, he's their guy of the future. So if it's still someone who's the guy of the future, then maybe you're able to move up a few rounds for that.
Mason Rudolph was a third round pick in this draft, pick number 76. So certainly in kind of the range you're talking about, just to go ahead and clarify that. Bridgewater, on the other hand, is 25 years old. So, you know, I would have guessed he was a little bit older, just because, you know, we saw him plenty with the Vikings. And maybe he is worth a third because that was a guy that the Vikings were kind of putting everything they had behind, initially to be their Super Bowl leading quarterback. And Bridgewater certainly looked the part, you know, when he was healthy before that injury happened. He looked like he was kind of on the road there. So, maybe it makes sense for the Saints, but I can't really see another team doing that for, Robert Griffin, who at this point is not necessarily in the back end of his career. He's only 28 years old, but he isn't in the early part of his career either. Let's go ahead and talk a little about running back, and I think this one is going to be relatively easy, for both of us. Obviously, Alex Collins is the starter. I can't imagine anyone debating that. Then Javorius Allen, Buck Allen, seems to be the second guy. Do you think they keep three guys? Do you think they go four? And if they go only three, who's that third guy? Is it Kenneth Dixon? Is it somebody else?
Yeah, I think it's Kenneth Dixon. I mean, even though, he didn't have the best game on the ground, he's looked, since he's come back from injury, he's looked pretty strong, and he's looks like he's been running pretty hard, even on plays where he's not getting huge chunk yardage, and he's still viable as a third down back. So I think he's the third guy there. Gus Edwards just hasn't quite done enough as an undrafted guy, I think, to just kind of jump out to you. And then Pat Ricard, I guess, if you want to consider him as a back, the fullback. Don't forget about the fullbacks. He'll be in there.
As a former fullback, shame on me.
Yeah. So you gotta include him in there. He's a big, important part of the offense, and he's helps out Alex Collins a lot. So, especially in the goal line situations, and he caught a touchdown in the preseason earlier in that first game at home. So.
Yeah, and he caught a touchdown last year as well. So, Ricard, certainly a talented guy. I don't want to disparage him at all by leaving him off this list, but I think, he's probably more situated as a defensive lineman who can just so happen to play fullback. But when it comes to Dixon, I think you're right. Dixon hasn't had the greatest health of anyone on this roster, but when he has been healthy, he's looked good. And as the third string back, which is what he would be, hopefully he's not out there 300 snaps over the course of the season. That would indicate an injury to somebody else. And as that kind of third string back, realistically, you'd probably put Gus Edwards on the practice squad. And with running backs being kind of a dime a dozen in this league, if Alex Collins were to get hurt and you didn't like Javorius Allen as your starter and Kenneth Dixon, you couldn't trust him, you can always go out and go get a running back who will do okay. Or you can grab a guy from your own practice squad, which is what Baltimore did with Alex Collins last year. So it's just not a position that you need to keep a bunch of guys all of a sudden. And I think you could probably get away with stashing Edwards on the practice squad without any teams coming and sniffing around. They probably have their own guy that they're a big fan of.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Alfred Morris and Adrian Peterson have been able to do. They've been running well in the preseason since joining teams because both the 49ers and Redskins were dealing with injuries. So, and now Adrian Peterson, to me, looks like the lead dog in that backfield. So, you know, you can always try to go out and get some guys. And if the offensive line is gelling well and Orlando Brown is off to a good start, you got Yanda back there on the right side. So, you know, you should be okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think running back's one of those things you just plug and play. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Locked On NFL podcast. The Locked On NFL has become Locked On NFL of Experts. Matt Williamson hosts the Locked On NFL podcast and has a brand new lineup. So every Monday, it's going to be Locked On's local experts on the biggest stories. You know, in today's situation, it's going to be Bridgewater and it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and his new deal. And then you've got Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus is going to join every Wednesday. And then on Thursday is ESPN's Amazing Mike Sando. So be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts to get this amazing content. As always, I'm Matthew Stevens. You can go ahead and catch me on Twitter at @MatthewS_NFL. And then Jacob Troxel, you can catch him at Trox3 on the on Twitter as well. We also have a little something. We got it together today, is our new Twitter account. Do you have that off the top of your head, Jacob?
I believe I do. I believe it's @LockedOnRavens.
Yeah, simple enough, right? I can't believe that escaped my head while in the middle of
doing. Well, hey, you never know. You never know. Because some people like to throw underscores in like you do, and
that's
some
true.
People like to throw numbers in like I do. So you better safe than sorry. But yeah, it's @LockedOnRavens on Twitter. And make sure you are following us. We'll keep you guys updated and keep all the latest podcast episodes up there.
I will say I've tossed out a question earlier today. You know, I want to get you guys, the fans, involved a little bit more into this with what questions you guys have that you kind of want us to answer. We're experts. We follow this team very closely. We maybe have some inside information that you, the typical fan, might not necessarily get, as well as, you know, what segments do you guys want to see? We're obviously trying to keep up with everything right now in terms of the roster cutdowns, but once we get into the regular season, I'm sure there's a segment that you're going to be able to point to and go, I want more of that. So make sure to follow us at Locked On Ravens on Twitter, and you can go ahead and actually interact with us directly, which is pretty cool. This third segment, we're going to continue with the 53-man roster. Let's go ahead and get into probably one of the more contentious parts of this roster, and that's wide receiver. Now, you've mentioned 5-6 wide receivers. Do you think there's really 7 that, you know, if this team's really going to go ahead and stretch it, 7 would probably be where it's at. 5, I think, is the minimum you really could keep. Because you're going to have Michael Crabtree, you're going to have John Brown, you're going to have Willie Snead, and Chris Moore. Those guys are your 4 starters, quote-unquote. Then it's really just a matter of depth behind them. So do you think 6? Do you think 5? Do you think 7? Where are you kind of at on this one?
Yeah, I think because of John Brown's history, he's got he's had some health issues. He's been fantastic when he's healthy, but he's had a couple of different injuries in his career. So I think you have to keep 6 with him as one of those 3 starters. He's going to see a lot of snaps, so obviously a good chance of injury. But I think you have to keep 6, and obviously, you know, Crabtree, Brown, Snead, and Moore there. And I think Jordan Lastly and Tim White are the 2 guys behind them. I think Janarian Grant is not far behind, and I just don't think, unless there is something, unless maybe they go to seven receivers, or unless Perryman has, you know, maybe a good performance against the Redskins, then I think those are the guys that they're going to roll with. Just because I think you saw where, you know, obviously they traded Correa for a 6th round pick, right? A guy that was drafted in 2016. They have a linebacker in place that they believe in that was drafted more recently. I think the trend is going to continue. If that's how they see things, they're just going to keep the guys that they have brought in more recently and try to develop them, because that just seems like I said, I just think that's going to be the trend. I don't know if you can go to seven, because then that might put you in a tough spot on the offensive line, because I think you have to have at least 8 offensive linemen. You probably are going to have at least 7 defensive linemen, a couple outside linebackers. You know, even if you keep 4 safeties, it's going to be tough with 7 receivers to round out the rest of the roster. So I believe in Crabtree and Snead and Brown and those guys contributing into the offense. But like I said, Brown's injury history has me a little bit concerned. So maybe just some younger guys is where they're going to be at.
Yeah, so I differ from you slightly in the fact that I have 7 guys making this team at wide receiver. Obviously, you have your main 4 that I mentioned. I have Jordan Lasley as well, which you do. I have, as of right now, and I'm going to preface that because this is before the Redskins game, we might see right. something completely different after the Redskins game, but I have Breshad Perryman making this team, and where I have him making this team is almost solely because he's a former first-round pick who's 6'3" and runs a 4.24 40. You can't teach that. You can barely draft it, to be honest. They love that potential. I mean, it's the reason why they put him out on the field so much last season, despite his pretty glaring failures. I can't see them getting rid of him all of a sudden, unless it's some trade or unless someone else really jumps out in this final preseason game and kind of secures that spot over Perryman, or we see him go ahead and drop another pass into a defender's hands, which could probably seal his fate in its own right. But just so much potential there, and if they keep him in a niche role and just have him run straight forward, I think he'll be just fine playing under 100 snaps this season as that kind of you know, X-factor guy that take the top off the defense. Maybe even that backup to John Brown, his straight along speed. Then the last guy, you had Tim White. I have Jenarian Grant personally winning this already. I think the fact that they gave him all these snaps at punt returner in the last game against the Miami Dolphins did a lot. And he's been the guy that's been most consistent as a wide receiver in making plays. It's a catch here or there. It's not a lot, but it is something. You know, on that front, Jenarian Grant has 6 receptions for 61 yards over this preseason, including a long of 26. So I think he's just been more consistent than Tim White or really anybody else on the roster has. But that's going to be interesting. I think that's the one that really is – that's the position that's going to come down to this final game to see who edges who out and who's maybe going to the practice squad or, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they're going on IR because of a – injury, quote unquote. I never like to speculate about that stuff because it's you know, you're not really supposed to do it, but let's be honest, it happens every year to every team.
Yeah, and if they do, real quick before we go to the next one, if they do keep 7 wide receivers, I think now I know I went through the rest of the lineup and you know, it might put you thin elsewhere, but if the Ravens are confident in their like first team defense, and they're confident in the fact that they have, you know, solid backups that can kind of flex around and just kind of be versatile, then if you are going to kind of just go over the top at one position and keep a bunch of guys, wide receiver seems like it might be it, because, you know, obviously this is the reason the Ravens struggled last year was because of the passing game. Alex Collins stepped in and was great. You know, obviously they drafted some improvements on the offensive line with Orlando Brown. You're getting Yonda back, so that'll help out as well. But this just seems like it's the group that will define the season really as a whole. If you can get, even if you're just middle of the pack in the passing offense, I believe they were 29th last year. So that would be a massive improvement.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that, you know, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, and even Chris Moore, their deals as of right now could truly just be one-year deals, the way that they're kind of worked out from the contract workings that I know of. They could be cut as of next year, a la, you know, Jeremy Maclin, and the team's not going to feel it in a big way. So if things go south, well, you might blow up that entire unit completely, so might as well have some young guys sitting around that you can potentially continue to develop this year, and hopefully, maybe just like they did with Chris Moore last year, have somebody kind of find their way to the lineup in the next year. Let's go ahead and talk a little about tight end. We only have a few more minutes left. So tight end, do you think they keep four? Do you think they go five guys? Where are you kind of at on the tight end market?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any surprises here. I think it's just gonna be four tight ends with Hurst and Mark Andrews. And then because of Hurst's injury, I think you have to keep both Max Williams and Nick Boyle to start the season. If Hurst was healthy, this might be a little bit different, but I think with him injured right now, you have to keep three. So that's just probably going to be pretty straightforward, I would guess.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, and I've gotten into an argument with a few people about this, but Max Williams and Nick Boyle to me are essentially the same guy. Williams is far better of a blocker than people will give him credit for, and he still has that upside as a pass catcher. Nick Boyle, we already know he's a good blocker, but he's kind of underrated as a pass catcher. They're going to kind of split snaps a lot like they did last year behind Benjamin Watson, except for instead of Watson, it's Hurst. And then Andrews is the guy that you kind of have sitting on the roster simply because you can't push him to the practice squad. He's never going to make it there. But he's a guy that you're kind of developing for maybe next year or the year after, when he really kind of starts to catch on and becomes that really X factor in the tight end position to go ahead and explode that seam that Baltimore really loves to do. So I'm with you on that one. You have to keep four, I think. Let's go ahead and talk a little about the offensive line. I'll go down my list.
Real quick. Tight ends. The Ravens have ended up with multiple tight ends on the field 55% of the time last year. No one else hit 40%.
Yeah.
Boom. There you go. They love their tight ends. Joe loves their tight ends, and they're keeping four.
Yeah. You know, Williams essentially was an extra tackle a lot last year. I mean, he got something to the effect of like 360 snaps or so last year, and a lot of it was kind of in that blocking role. So they love to run up the middle and toward their edges a little bit, but in order to do that, you need to keep extra guys on the line. So speaking of the offensive line, that's a perfect segue, man. I couldn't have worked that any better.
There it is.
Let me go over my list real quick. I have eight. I have Ronnie Stanley, James Hurst at left guard, Matt Skura is your starting center, Marshall Yanda is obviously your right guard, Orlando Brown Jr. has done everything possible to win that starting right tackle job. I think he did it. Then you have Alex Lewis, Nico Siragusa, and Marquise Shakir are my three backups, and I have them as my backups. While you can make an argument for nine guys, they're my three backups mainly because they play every position on the offensive line. Shakir is currently listed as a center and guard and tackle. Siragusa, also center, guard, tackle. And Alex Lewis was tackled and guard before and then got a little bit of a snap at center earlier in training camp. So versatility is key on that offensive line. And I'm not terribly thrilled with what's there, but I would expect somebody to kind of make a move in the coming days. But as of right now, that's kind of my lineup. Do you differ at all from that?
Yeah, I think I have I have the same six guys, except I have Bradley Bozeman and Jermaine Illuminor. I hope I said that right. Illuminor. Every time I say it wrong.
We practiced that before the show, folks.
Yeah, and maybe it's still wrong.
It's Illuminor. You're right.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. Thank goodness. I think Bozeman stood out to me. I think, maybe early on, especially in the Hall of Fame game, the offensive line, I think just kind of as a whole, the reserves didn't look like they were on the same page. But I think he's kind of stood out a little bit to me. And, he's an Alabama guy, and I know Ozzie Newsome has loves his Alabama draft picks. And I think he's just a solid guy, and I'm surprised going back to the draft, I was kind of surprised he fell to the sixth round. I thought he was a pretty athletic, all around talented dude. So yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at with him.
Yeah, a lot of mocks had Bozeman going anywhere between like the fourth and fifth round. The fact that he fell to the sixth was actually a big shock. A lot of people really had him going a lot higher as one of the top rated centers, in a pretty weak center class, all things considered. But he was, you know, in the top five of the centers on a lot of boards coming into the draft. So that sixth round, it's kind of a steal. I certainly agree with that.
And Illuminor, real quick, just to shed light on him. I just think he gets in there because of he just seems like a pretty, again, like an athletic guy, but a versatile guy. With the offensive line maybe needing guys that can fill different spots, especially as the season goes on, if there's an injury or something, maybe he can step in there.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, when we talk about the offensive line, the versatility is going to be key. I'm going to have the same issue on the defensive line and at linebacker, and even for that matter at safety. Really, the entire defense, versatility is key. The more you can do, and Coach John Harbaugh has reiterated that repeatedly and ad nauseum this offseason, the more you can do, the better the chance you're going to win a job. So I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on when watching this final game. One quick note, you know, Greg Sinnott is the offensive tackle rookie this year, sixth rounder. Walking boot as of right now, and it was kind of hinted that maybe he'd be heading to injured reserve. I would have had him on my list if it weren't for the fact that, honestly, I think he's going to injured reserve, in the coming days. It's just a matter of when.
Yep, agree. And I think I wouldn't be surprised. I do like Saragusa. I think it's a toss up between him and Illuminor. I could go either way. And that's another one where maybe that's decided in this last game. So who knows?
Yeah. Wide receiver, tight end, maybe a little bit of tight end, and offensive line is really going to be decided in this final game for sure. So a lot of really cool things to still watch out for. Ravens versus Redskins, this fourth, technically fifth preseason game if you're the Ravens. A lot of stuff to go ahead and watch out for. All right, well, this is going to go ahead and end it for this show. Our next show, so tomorrow, is going to be a little bit of a recap of the Ravens versus Redskins, that final preseason game, and we're going to start talking about the defensive 53-man roster. Roster cuts are on Saturday, so they've got to be in by 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in order to go ahead and be there. So a lot of stuff's going to happen in the next 2-3 days, guys. You can go ahead and catch us here 5 days a week, every single week. We're the Locked On Ravens podcast. I'm joined by Jacob Troxel. And again, you can catch him at Trox3, TROX3. And I'm Matthew Stevens. You can catch me at Matthew_NFL. Pretty awesome show today again, Jacob. I think we talked a lot about really cool things. Anything pressing before we get ready to sign off?
Follow our new Twitter account, man. Get that at Locked On Ravens follow. And we threw out the idea of a listener league, a fantasy football league, if we can get enough heads for it. So we certainly know people are out there listening, but we need to figure out if we have enough people interested in that. And, I'll be drafting Joe Flacco and Alex Collins and John Brown all in the first three rounds. So you could probably, if you need a morale boost fantasy wise, play against me. Just kidding. I won't actually do that. But yeah, if we can get enough, if you're interested, go ahead, start replying on Twitter. Let us know.
Absolutely. And again, that's Locked On Ravens at Locked On Ravens on Twitter. Thank you very much, Jacob. Again, tune in tomorrow to go ahead and catch that recap of the Ravens-Redskins game and the 53-man roster on defense.